Why are we initiating women as brahmanas if women are supposed to have a subordinate role in Vaishnavas, in Vedic culture, and brahmanas are the leaders of society? I've spoken about this before. I guess I should speak again. Maybe I'll just go through this briefly. There is Vaishnavi Diksha. Vaishnavi meaning here not initiation for women devotees, but Vaishnavi is the female form of the word Vaishnava, and therefore when it's used as an adjective for the word Diksha, which is feminine, it becomes Vaishnavi. That's just something from Sanskrit. So that is the Pancharatriki Diksha, which is standard in our Gaudiya Sampradaya, and which may be given to anyone, to women, Shudras, lower than Shudras, and according to Pancharatriki Vidhi, one who is initiated in that way, they can worship the deities. Now, in the Vedic system, there is Upanayanam, by which a boy who's born in the family of a twice born is given, he has Upanayanam Samskar, after which he is, that's the authorization for being trained in Vedic knowledge. And with that Upanayanam Samskar comes a thread. They wear a thread. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, they all wear a thread upon Upanayanam. So they're both similar. The Upanayanam Samskar and the Pancharatriki Diksha are similar, inasmuch as that's imparted by a guru. Actually, the Upanayanam Samskar is, it'll be different in different families, usually given by the father. In some castes, it may be given by the grandfather or the uncle. What was it in your family?
By a
priest, but that would be your own family priest.
Yeah, regularly he would be doing all of them.
But and his father would be for it was in your the priest would be in your family in no. generation. No, any priest.
Any priest from the village or from the town.
I see. Any Brahmin, that means.
No, need not be related to us.
I see. And that's this has been the system in your family for years that anyone can do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it should, but then it's not necessarily that the person who administers the Upanayanam Samskar along with that comes the imparting of the Brahma Gayatri Mantra that was given by the priest also.
That will be given by my father.
Ah, yes.
In my ear.
I see. So the ceremony was done by the priest.
Yes.
But your father or the mother?
Father and mother.
And mother.
Both.
They spoke Brahma Gayatri.
Yeah.
Really, that's unusual because the Brahma Gayatri is not supposed to be given to women.
Yeah, but they both of them tell it to me.
In your family?
Yes.
In your Iyengar family?
Iyengar.
Tamil Brahmin family. But I think that won't be the same in all Iyengar families.
Be the same?
Father and mother both,
yes.
Because women are not supposed to be given Brahma Gayatri.
But both are there.
Hmm. So anyway, there'll be different systems in different families. So the Brahma Gayatri mantra is given, and then the teaching is usually done by someone different, not the person who gives the mantra. So they're similar in Pancharatriki Diksha also. The Brahma Gayatri is not given, but the Pancharatrik mantras, especially for Vaishnavas, the Gopal mantra, Dwadash Aksharam. There are different mantras which are given in different sampradayas and by different gurus. In our, what Srila Prabhupada gave us, he gave six mantras, two for Guru, two for Gauranga, and two for Govinda. So, upon receiving this, one is authorized to worship the deity, either of these, and one will study. Generally, one can study the Vedas, or in the case of the Pancharatriki Diksha, then one will not study the Vedas, but the in our case especially Srimad Bhagavatam Shastra, then the study of Shastra, and usually the who gives that mantra will be also the chief teacher or guru in the Pancharatriki Vidhi. And traditionally in the Vaishnava Sampradayas, they're different things. So someone may have Upanayanam and not Pancharatriki Diksha. And that's not considered Diksha in the same way. One may or may not have Pancharatriki Diksha also. And with Pancharatriki Diksha, it's done in a family line, so if one has born in a Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya family, he'll have Upanayanam Samskar. Then again, he'll have that Pancharatriki Diksha. One may have one or the other, or one may have both. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wasn't the first to do this, but he gave Pancharatriki Diksha and Brahma Gayatri to disciples who were not born in twice-born families, and even he gave to disciples who were born in twice-born families. In other words, those by that time in Bengal at least, mostly only those who wore a thread were from Brahmin families. Nowadays we think the thread means Brahmins, but previously it was for Kshatriyas and Vaishyas also. And still you find some who wear them, yes, here in South India. In Bengal, now most of the Brahmins, they wear left front, the CPIM or something like that badges, and no thread. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave Brahminical, he gave that because he wanted to demonstrate that Vaishnavas are not less than Brahmins, because the Vaishnava society at that time had fallen into much disrepute in Bengal due to very low-class behavior. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to show that real Vaishnavas are on the very highest level. And they're more than Brahmins, but at least people can recognize that they are as good as Brahmins. So he gave them both these, Pancharatriki Diksha and then Upanayanam Samskar. Srila Prabhupada wanted to take it a step further and establish an actual class of brahmanas in society. And so he called what in the Gauriya Math is called Diksha, he called that Brahminical initiation. And he wanted to create a class of brahmanas who could actually lead society. Lead not in the sense of Kshatriyas, getting out there and organizing everyone, but that may also be required, but a Brahmin leads in the sense that he sets a good example by his ideal behavior, and he gives pertinent advice. Now, traditionally, women, they would be known as a Brahmani if they're the wife of a Brahmana. And there they don't undergo Upanayanam Sanskar. For them, the Sanskar is marriage. And by that, they marry a Brahmin, they're a Brahmani. So they get everything all at once. All the sanskars that the men undergo, they get all at once. Just like the other day, some girl was brought to me for her. This little girl, I was supposed to give the first writing, the first letter. I said, there's not done for girls. They get everything at the time of marriage. And then the boy is supposed to teach them. And we see that there are traditional wives of traditional brahmanas who are very learned also. I've personally seen, even though they don't have official training in that. So women, they don't get Upanayanam Samskar, but they do, they may take Pancharatriki Diksha. In fact, they should be initiated. Everyone should be initiated as Vaishnavas. So, Srila Prabhupada wanted to create a class of brahmanas who could lead society. And women's role in that, he's made it very clear, based on Shastra, that women's role is somewhat subdued. Within the home, they are prominent, no doubt, but publicly they don't have a prominent role. So, in accord with Srila Prabhupada's desire to re-establish Varnashram society, and the statement that he several times made, that it's not that all our devotees have to be brahminically initiated, only those who have brahminical qualities. We should start to do this. I don't know if our society is ready for this. In fact, I know it's not. Actually, I can state more accurately. I do know that our society is not ready for this, but we have to separate brahminical initiation from Vaishnavi Diksha, that everyone who's practicing seriously Krishna consciousness can be or should be initiated with Pancharatrik mantras. But it's not that everyone should be seen as a Brahmin. A Vaishnava is more than a Brahmin, but if we make everyone a Brahmin, then how can we establish Varnashram? There has to be some division. That someone will be designated as Brahman, Kshatriya, and Vaishan. Someone will be designated as Shudra. No one wants to be designated as a Shudra. Why not? If someone has that propensity, then why not? But everyone wants to think, I'm better. But if you want to think I'm better, then well, for a start, that's not a Vaishnava attitude. But being a Vaishnava, that's better than being any Brahman. So all these things should be understood. So that's that point in a brief overview of all of that. You had another question yesterday you were going to ask?
Yes. Hiranyakashipu, when he went for austerities, that time it's mentioned in Bhagavatam, Kayadu was pregnant, but he did performed austerities for several years.
Several years, it was a long time. Yeah. 36,000 years, yeah. It was a long, seems like it was a long pregnancy.
But Prahlad Maharaj, you see that he was only 5 years old.
Yeah, I thought about that too. Like I said, it seems like it was a long pregnancy. Actually, it is mentioned somewhere in the Shastra that, I've seen this, that Hiranyakashipu, in the middle of, he was doing his austerities, then Narada and Parvat, his friend, they went to where Hiranyakashipu was doing austerities, and they, in the form of birds, And they were in a tree sitting next to Hiranyakashipu and chanting, Narayana, Narayana. And Hiranyakashipu got so frustrated, he tried to throw stones and get them away. But they kept, so he got so frustrated, he went home and took a break. And then he had sexual union with his wife. And because he was so upset that all the time, that Narayana, 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 that was going on in his head. And while he gave birth to the child, gave this, and because of that, then Prahlad was born. So it might have been toward the end of his austerities also. I don't know where I got that from, but I heard it somewhere. Pura is supposed to be somewhere in the Puranas. There's always some explanation. But many things, I don't bother a lot of the time. It's just, anyway, there are so many things we don't understand, so we don't have to understand everything. It's just like, you know, people who are atheists, they believe in science and all this, but they don't understand. The average person, they don't understand hardly anything about science. And even any scientist, they also don't understand, because you can only understand a little bit in one area. So someone who's, for instance, specialized in evolutionary theory, they won't understand how the Big Bang and all this. They may have an overview, but they couldn't give all the mathematics that's supposed to justify that theory. So they just accept, well, someone knows, but I don't know, that's all. So we can do the same also. It's not that we have to explain everything, or even understand everything, or even try to understand everything. It's just not possible. Knowledge is too vast. There is a verse, where does that come? In Chanakya or Hitopadesh? Which I don't know, but the purport is that life is short and the knowledge is vast, so better to study that which is most important instead of trying to spread your attention over so many things. That would be a good verse to learn if I had any brain left to learn anything. We should teach our Gurukul children. Seems like what's generally understood is true in my case, that as you get older, your brain or your intelligence decreases. I mean, definitely in terms of remembering, I'm just so many times I'm forgetting verses.